Tune into Bürgermeisterin, where each episode is a journey into the extraordinary, seamlessly blending knowledge and entertainment. I'm Julia, and today we're going to speak in a bit Luxembourg Railway Station. All aboard Luxembourg Station, the crown jewel of the railway world and the princess land of Luxembourg. This little hub of locomotion glory sits a mere stone's throw, well, 2 kilometres, but who's counting, from the centre of Luxembourg City. It's so important that they decided to name one of the city's districts after it. Not just any district, mind you, it's operated by the Société Nationale des Chemins de Fer Luxembourgeois, CFL, which is a fancy way of saying they've got their act together when it comes to trains. Now, you see, due to Luxembourg being about the size of your neighbour's postage stamp collection, this station doesn't discriminate when it comes to welcoming trains. It's so magnetic that it's even got Brussels and Strasbourg within its trainy grasp, as if they're just a hop, skip and a jump away. In case you're into the nitty-gritty details, this station sits at a lofty 282 metres above the sea, which is impressive for a place that's flatter than a pancake. Not only does it serve as a terminus for all the big boy trains lines in Luxembourg, but it's also an international sensation, offering services to the neighbouring countries, Belgium, France and Germany. But let's talk about the rich history of this train-tastic haven. It all started with a plan to connect the North Sea, the Alps and the Mediterranean. And the Grande Compagnie de Luxembourg, that was a Belgian-English company, got the gig. But, sadly, they couldn't quite pull it off, and the government took away the train-building license. But then, the Société Royale Grand Ducale des Chemins de Fer Guillaume Luxembourg swooped in, and on a splendid August day, precisely August the 11th, 1859, coincidentally the same day they inaugurated the first railway line in the whole country, which conveniently connected Luxembourg to Bettenberg and the French border. This wooden marvel threw open its wooden doors. The pièce de résistance of the grand opening was the birth of a patriotic anthem, Der Fährmann, or as we non-Luxembourger speakers like to call it, the Chariot of Fire. But why put a train station where it's miles away from all the action, you ask? Well, the good folks of Luxembourg had a precisely logical explanation for that. You see, back in the day, they took their fortress-building duties pretty seriously, being part of that Germanic Confederation and all. So they nested this new wooden train station on the south bank of the Petrus, just far enough from the city to ensure that no errant locomotives could jeopardise their fortress status. In the Grand Train Odyssey of 1860, they finally completed the line from Luxembourg to Kleinbettingen. And what did that mean? It meant they could now send their wood-constructed trains on fabulous journeys to Arlon, Brussels, Antwerp and even Ostend. Who needs modern trains when you've got the vintage charm of wooden locomotives? Now, the final piece of this historical puzzle, the city expanding around the station. It all began in 1861 when they got a wild idea to build a viaduct over the Alzette connecting the station to the northern part of the city. But it was only after the Treaty of London in 1867 when they decided to go all Kool-Aid Man on their fortifications, smashing them to bits. The reason? They needed room to let the city grow. And what better way to do that than to bulldoze the old fortress walls? Urban planning at its finest, let me tell you this right now. Now, fast forward to the early 20th century, where the old wooden station was ready for retirement. Between 1907 and 1913, during an economic boom fueled by the legendary Terre Rouge iron, sounds more like a meal choice at a fancy restaurant, they decided to give the station a makeover. They brought in the I-Team of architecture, Rudel, Jusgen, and Schöffel, a trio of German designers with a vision as grand as a peacock in a top hat. They came up with a new snazzy building that was as modern as it could get back then. And they didn't stop at modern, they went for neo-baroque style, inspired by the hottest architectural trends of the 17th century in the Moselle region. This new architectural sensation became the talk of the town and, in this case, the talk of the tiny nation of Luxembourg. It dominated all the other public buildings, making them look like wallflowers at a fancy ball. As the 1950s rolled around, Luxembourg decided it was high time for a makeover. They were about to embark on an electrifying journey to power up the entire railway network. Picture this, 1956, where everything was about to go from steamy to sparkly. But, you see, there was a little quirk in the plan. Line 5 Luxembourg, Kleinbettingen, being the diva of the railway world, had different voltage preferences compared to the rest of the network. To deal with the shocking situation, Luxembourg station had a cool trick up its sleeve. It became switchable. Yep, you heard it right. It was like a chameleon of the railway world, switching its electrified personality as needed. So, during the Grand Electrification Extravaganza, they not only brought in the buzz of modernity, but also embraced a level of adaptability that would make even the most tech-savvy folks jealous. In the crazy world of the 1990s, something magical happened at Luxembourg Station. They decided it was time to bring the station into the digital age, and boy, did they go all out. Enter the computerization of interlocking installations, a tongue-twisting term for turning everything into ones and zeros. This digital revolution did some pretty nifty things. You see, in the olden days, they had specific signals for the switchable tracks, and those signals could throw quite the tantrum. They had a special talent for stopping electric trains in their tracks if the voltage wasn't up to snuff. But they would let diesel trains prance by without a care in the world. It was like a voltage-based game of red light, green light. But with the arrival of the shiny new computer system, they bid farewell to all that drama. No more electric train meltdowns or diesel train free passes. This digital wizardry managed everything with the grace of a ballet dancer, but instead of a tutus and pointe shoes, it wore a suit and a tie. Traditional signaling was out, and the high-tech was in, making the whole station run like a well-choreographed symphony. With the Ministry of Transport waving its magic wand in 2006, Luxembourg Station embarked on a journey of epic proportions. It's as if the station decided it was time to shed its old skin and embrace a shiny new identity. This facelift included new sales facilities sprouting up inside the main hall, so you could buy your train tickets in style. The platforms? Well, they became wider and more welcoming, kind of like the train station equivalent of celebrity Poe's detox retreat. Elevators and a swanky new underpass appeared, making sure everyone had a great time moving up and down without breaking a sweat. But the station wasn't done yet. They decided to renew the overhead electrical wiring because nothing says modern like wires that are not sticking out everywhere. Not one, but two escalators were added at platform level, taking you to train boarding like you were ascending to the throne of train travel. And if all that wasn't enough, they slapped on a fresh coat of paint with a new entrance portico and a reconfigured forecourt. It's like the station was saying, look at me now. And to top it all off, they added a four-story car park because parking in style is an art form, and especially in the city centre of Luxembourg. So there you have it. The crazy, whimsical story of Luxembourg's railways. A tale of tracks, trains, and twists that could rival any blockbuster Hollywood movie. All about the locomotive for this unforgettable railway escapade.